didn't you? Amen. Well, I guess y'all found out different, didn't you? Amen. It's a joy to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity. I'd like for my wife to stand and have her stand, show you my girlfriend. This is my wife. We've been married this past May. It was our 51st year. And so I tell her all the time, we've got two friends that love me. They'll buy me anything we need, so if you leave, I'm going with you. One of them's American Express, and the other one's Visa. Amen. So we'll just turn it into a vacation. Amen. We'll try to work it out as we go. I'll look at her and I'll say, what we got for supper? Amen. Or something like that. Amen. But it's a joy to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity. I've looked forward to the time and of being here tonight. And I just want to start out and just say to you, thank you. Thank you so very much for what you do for us. A lot of times, if you look at, in the carnal sense of the word, if you look at missions, it's kind of like a great big gaping hole, and you see very little that's coming out of it. But the good thing is that our Lord is keeping an accurate account, and He knows what's taking place, and He knows what's going on. And you know the thing that He's blessed with is just simply our faith, to trust Him and to believe Him. And we're grateful to you. Now, I've got a bad habit. I tell you this all the time when I'm up here. I love to eat, so don't quit. Amen. Love to pay some bills too, amen. But anyway, we're grateful to you, we're thankful to you, and I just want to say that from the depth of my heart. I also want to make mention of something, and that's our daughter Stephanie Whitworth. She's our oldest daughter. Many of you have prayed for her, many of you know the situation. Honestly, since May, the 1st of May, until now, she's been maybe at home in the last total of about 3.5 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. Up until this day, she's had to go in. She had to have double heart bypass surgery. They thought they was going to do possibly four. And so that got, she went in, she had that taking place. Everything went good there. She's been on dialysis now for, I think, 3 or 4 years or maybe even more. And so she's just gone through the ringer, if I can say it to you like that. When she had the bypass heart surgery, everything went well. They closed her up, and then she had an infection. And so she went through infection, I think it was 3 different times, and they had to go in on the third time, and they actually took her sternum out. And so she's been through the ringer. She's right now in a rehabilitation home, and she's trying to, they're taking her through rehabilitation steps, if I can say it to you like that, so she can come back and, I guess, be a mother and be a wife and serve the Lord. So I appreciate you praying for Stephanie Whitworth. That's our oldest daughter. Thank you so very much. And then I hate to mention it, I hate to say it, but we had to cancel the South Carolina Blitz. Some of y'all may know that or you may not know that. We didn't want to, but we felt that that was the best considering it was the Helena, I believe it is, Helena. Anyway, everything that took place. We decided to cancel it on Saturday. We began to call people. There was 3 of us. We're taking and calling people and telling them not to come, cancel your reservations at the motel. And on Monday, the last word we had, there was institutions still in the state of South Carolina that were without power going in on Monday. And so that's the reason why we did. But you know, God's been good to us. I stand amazed. I just made some notes right here, was making mention of different things. And we just recently had the opportunity of being at the Lee Arendelle Correctional Institution for Women. And that's in Georgia. I'll say it to you like that. I can't remember, but it's somewhere in Georgia, okay? We had 19 saved. Amen. God was so good to us. We were, I think about 2 weeks later, we were at the Claxton's Women's Probation Detention Center, I believe it is. And we had, I think it was 16 saved there. And since we've been going, since our last prayer letter to the Silverdale, we've had, I think it is 2 saved. And so God's just been, no, we had 1 saved, excuse me, we had 1 saved there. And if you will, pray with us this coming Tuesday night and then Thursday night. Tuesday night, I'll be preaching on the dorms. And then, if you will, on Thursday night, Gail and I will be in the women's unit and we'll be preaching to the women. And then we'll be back the following Thursday. So make that a matter of prayer. Amen. And if you will, we'd be grateful to you. And then one of the things, if I could say this to you very quickly, one of the things that we've been working on and we're praying about and just looking, trying to get ahead, if I could say it to you like that, And that's paper, paper for the ministry, paper for all of the things that we produce and the things that we make. You know, with one roll of paper, we can produce, I think it's 186,000 gospel tracts. 186,000 gospel tracts. And so we give these out, the free charge to our people. Our people just come in, they get what they need, and so they can do the ministry. But we just need prayer over that. We're trying to get ahead. Brother Ellis wants to get ahead and stay ahead. And so that's one of the things that we're asking you to pray with us about. Again, thank you. Pray with us on Thursday. And then, if you will, on Tuesday. Pray with us this coming Tuesday. You know, sometimes you go into those dorms and it'll be you and a chaplain. And chaplain, she may look at us and say, okay, it's your service. And, you know, sometimes it can be difficult. The last time I was in there, we had 5 saved. And I praise the Lord for that. Men actually came behind me. They turned down the TV, turned it off, I think it was. There was men that were laying on what we call boats or chutes. And then there's a half wall and men back in the back. And you just rear back and preach. That's what you do. You just rear back and preach. And you want it to be loud enough for every inmate or every resident that's there to be able to hear and possibly receive something from the Word of God. You never know when God will use you to drop a golden nugget, can I say it to you like that, and maybe help someone when it comes to all time and eternity. You know, one of the things that Gail and I have been doing, and that's, it's not a spiritual word, but let me use the word, and that's recruiting. We're trying to recruit. You know, I can't help but think, I was wondering tonight as the choir was up here and everybody was singing, I was just wondering how many preachers are here. How many preachers are here and in the service with us? And what I'm saying to you, look, I just turned 73. I know y'all don't believe that. Okay, I'll turn around and you can see my bald spot, okay? But I'm joking with you, amen. But you know what I'm saying to you, I'm not looking for a place to stop. I'm looking for a place to go on. You know, a lot of times we hear things like, well, you know, boy, I remember the time when we... I'm not looking for the times past. I'm looking for the times present and the times in ahead. Amen. That's what I'm looking for. And God's got some times like that. And you know, as Brother Ellis, you may have heard him say it, but if you're 70 or whatever and you can screw in a light bulb, then the Rock of Ages can use you. I want you to know that. God can use you. And you may be a middle-aged preacher. Maybe you don't feel the call to be a pastor, maybe to be an assistant pastor or an assistant to the pastor, however you want to look at it. But you know that you want to win souls and you want to lead men and women to Christ. Here's your opportunity. Here's your avenue. Here's your chance. Here's your a place where you can raise your support. You can get out there. You can take a country. You can take a state. You can take revival teams. And you can win men and women to God and see them come to know Christ in the free pardon of sin. It's been a few years back, but one lady, when I was down at the Lafayette at the jail, she asked me one day, she's a Christian lady, and she worked there. She said, Brother Gregory, when are you going to retire? And I thought about that for a second, and I said, why? I'm having too much fun, amen? And I mean that. I don't know about y'all, but I'm enjoying the Christian life that God's given us. Do we have burdens? Why, we sure do, amen? I'm looking right over there at all those young preachers. Just a matter of time, amen? Well, they are preachers, aren't they? Some of them. Hey, don't you look at me like that, amen? Hold that head up there and smile, amen? We need men that will take our place, that will come and go and do something for God. I've said this before, but I'll say it again, and I'll go on here in just a second. I don't mean to just ramble. I've got something on my heart I want to share with you tonight. But I think about Chaplain Duncan. He is over the prisons in Alaska. He told me, that's probably been two and a half, three years ago. He said, Brother Gregory, and I said, yes, sir, we were about to part. We had lunch together. We were kind of dreaming for the future. And he said, give me 8. And then he stopped. He said, no, give me 9 more men. 9 men for the state of Alaska. And there's an opportunity to do something there. Well, that's too far away. Well, hey, what do you want? What do you want? You say, would you go? I'd go if God told me to go. I sure would. Be scared to death. I'd probably live in the city because I'm not going to live out in those neck of the woods. Amen. I don't want to come up on a brown bear or a black bear or a big bear. Amen. I just don't want to come up on one of them. Amen. Listen, there's a place. There's a place on the revival teams. There's a place on our in our chaplaincy program. There's a place. If you don't want a state, pick you out a country and go for God. Amen. That's what I'm saying to you. Amen. And the Lord will bless you. I can tell you, the Lord will bless you. He's given us 51 good years of ministry, of marriage, and we're still going on. We don't want to quit. And we'll say again, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Amen. All right, y'all smile. You look like your mother-in-law moved in with the 30-year meal ticket. I'm joking with you, okay? I want you to turn tonight in your Bibles to the book of Acts. I really thought about preaching a small segment out of the life of David, and really I've struggled with it. I've looked at it all week long. I've thought about it. I've prayed about it. And so, listen, I was looking at it last night, and it's just souring, S-O-U-R, sour, souring on my soul. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 20, and we'll start reading in verse 17. Why don't you stand with me? This will give you an opportunity to stretch and smile. And then after that, we'll have a word of prayer after we read the scripture. And then we'll share with you what we have on our heart tonight. Thank you, Pastor, for the privilege. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, church, for allowing us to come. I don't know, but I heard you had Pastor Appreciation Day. Pastor Appreciation Day. Today, amen. Was it a good one?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sis, did you have a good one? Had a good one. Amen. All right. Amen. Well, thank you so much for loving your preacher. Boy, I love him. It's always a joy to be around him. We carry on, cut up, and we just have a good time. You know, you can let yourself down. I mean, you can let your, if you have any, you can let your hair down, okay, with a preacher. Amen. Y'all will get that in just a minute, okay? But anyway, let's start in verse 17. We'll go down just a few verses, and then we'll have prayer. And after that, you can be seated. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from this day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel, all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, that you feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw disciples away after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now let's have prayer, and then after that you can be seated. Our Father, with a grateful, thankful heart, we bow. We pause to say one more time that we love you, and we thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this opportunity. And I pray now, Father, as Paul said, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith should stand, not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And Lord, I ask you, please, one more time for thy good touch. Lord, I don't deserve it, but I sure like to have it. I sure like to receive it when you come upon us and you use us. And I ask you, Father, please, for a little while, use us this evening. Help these people. May we be a blessing. May we encourage. May we edify, exhort, and equip. Lord, if there's one with us lost, save them. Now, Lord, you know what we need tonight. Do your work of grace. Father, we'll thank you and praise you. Lord, can I ask you, please, it not just be another Wednesday night service. It's not just another opportunity for an old preacher to possibly just toot his horn. Lord, can I say it to you like that? We all need help here, Lord. That you do for us. I'll thank you and praise you because I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Look with me tonight as you think about this passage of Scripture. I want you to go back down with me, if you will, and we'll start and look in verse 29 and verse 30, and there's where I want to take my thought. A lot of men have probably preached this, but I come across it in my Bible, and I trust what I've got to share with you will be a blessing to you. In verse 29, he said, "For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." And I want to talk to you for just a little while on the subject of watch out for the wolves. Watch out for the wolves. Now, you think about that, but the Bible said that they'll come, and surely they will come. They will come. I think about one evangelist, as he made mention, and I'm under the impression that this is correct. There is the alpha and the female, or the alpha male, the alpha female, and it is the alpha female that actually, if I can say it to you like this, runs the show. And as we think about this, let me just give you some things to think about. Wolves have a social order about them. Wolves can live in packs upward to 24 people, or 20, not people, but wolves. And wolves have an alpha couple. They have, and they mate for life. Only the alpha couple, only the alpha male and alpha female in that a pack will mate for life. They'll usually live somewhere between 4 and not more than around 9 years. And when the alpha male feels threatened and another male steps up to take his place, the one left standing will be the one that will be the new or the remain the alpha male. And as you think about this, may I say to you, when the pups are born, may I say to you that they're born in the first 10 days, they're without their sight, they're without their ears. I know their sight comes back at 10 days, and I think it's around that time that their hearing begins to develop and they can hear. It is in the social circle of the, let me do it like a pyramid here. You know, in our lives, there's the financially elite, and then we find ourselves somewhere down in that pyramid. And they have a hierarchy, if I say it to you like that. They have, a social order. And, you know, these wolves, the lesser female wolves will take care of the cubs. You know, when you think about this, wolves have a variety of distinctive facial expressions, and they use them to communicate and maintain unity in the pack. It has been said that if you or I, if we look too long upon a male, the alpha male, he will take that as a challenge. He'll take it from an animal, he'll take it from a human, and he will take you on. He will take you on. I want you to know that. In North America, we have two types of wolves. There is the northern wolves, that's what I call them, and they are the larger, they are the dark gray wolves, and they're usually in the northern section of the United States, Canada, Alaska, so forth and so on. And then you have also in the southwestern deserts, if I remember correct, you have the red wolves. And, you know, the male can come anywhere from 4 to 6 feet in length. He can be about 3 foot in height, and he can weigh upwards to 175 pounds. You know, when you think about a hungry wolf, he can sit down and literally gorge 20 pounds of meat at one setting or at one eating. And that would be the equivalency of 100 hamburgers for you and I, any of us, any one person here that would consume that much meat. And you know, they, you know, in one sense of the word, let me just share this with you. They're just one, if I could say it to you like this, they're just one set of lungs. I mean, that's the thing that goes, and they can run down their prey and so forth and so on. It's also believed that the ravens will also work with the wolves, and the ravens will lead the wolves to their prey, and then when the prey has been caught and they're eating, they will allow the ravens to come in and eat with them. I can't prove that. I'm just telling you what I was reading on different things. But you know, when you think about all of these things, there's so many things that we could say. The wolf can swim up to, I think it's 8 miles. They have between their paws a little small web, and that enables them to do that. They run on the top of their paws rather than all of their foot like that, and it can make their agility much more able and so forth and so on. The jaws of a wolf has 1,500 pounds of pressure cracking, can I say it to you like that, cracking pressure in every inch. 1,500 pounds to take and to take on whatever it is that their prey is and to break the bones and to tear into the meat. And here, Paul comes along and he says to you and I, he says that grievous wolves shall enter in. Yes. And I want to tell you something. Do you realize there could be wolves today, this very evening, in the church service? May I say this to you tonight, and I don't say this, I have nothing in mind when I say this, no one in mind, I'm sure not, nothing like that. But a lot of times we see these wolves, they pop up, and it may be the female wolf that says to her deacon husband and says, we need to do something about this, and so forth and so on. Several years ago, I was in a church. And I'll not tell you where, when, or whatever. Just several years ago it took place. One of our daughters was engaged. And I just made this statement, and I made this statement to him. I said, now, I didn't raise her up. I didn't beat on her, and I didn't bang on her. I spanked my daughter as a father should, and so forth and so on. But I don't beat on them. I don't beat on her, and I don't bang on her. I'm good to my daughter. And I said, if I give you her hand in marriage, and I find out you've been beating on her, I'm gonna stomp a mud hole in you. Now, that's the way I just said it to him like that right there. I said, now you're going home, you tell your dad, you tell your mama, you tell your uncle, you tell your granddad, you tell the whole crowd. I mean what I'm saying to you. Now, they didn't get married, thank God and the Lamb, amen. But what I'm saying to you, that's the truth, amen. But what I'm saying to you, this right here, I made that statement in that church, and let me just say this. A lady in the church did not like what I said, and they dropped our support. Now, that's the truth. I'm just telling you. That's the truth. Amen? And I'm not mad. I don't begrudge them. That's between them and God. I'm just saying to you, things like that happen. And as you think about this, I want you to notice with me some things tonight. I want you to look, if you will, in verse 19 and notice with me what the Bible says, the things that the wolves will get after. Notice with me, he says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Can I say to you that the wolves will get after your service? No matter how small, no matter how large, no matter what you're doing, the wolves will get after your service. Notice with me how Paul describes this. He looks in verse 9 and he says, with many tears and with many temptations which befell me by the lying wait of the Jews. The tears and the temptations. There's times in which you serve the Lord and you just want to give up. There'll be times in your life that you'll just say, what's the use? Why should I? It doesn't seem like I'm going nowhere. It seems like I take one step forward and I take two steps back. And I take one step forward and I wind up taking two steps back again. I'm not getting anywhere. And if you look at your Christian life, if you've just been saved recently, you may see that in your life. But give yourself some time to grow. Give yourself a year and then look back on your life and you'll see where you have advanced in your strides as you're serving the Lord. But I want you to notice with me, You find that phrase, serve the Lord, I think it's 21 times in our King James Bible. Now, I'm going to give you two. I'll actually give you three, and then we'll go on. But I want you to notice with me, if you will, turn in your Bible, Psalms 138 and verse 6. And the Bible says, though the Lord be high, yet shall he have respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though the Lord be high, yet shall he have respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. And the word lowly, it's speaking of the humble. It's speaking of a person that's just willing and humble. And they'll serve the Lord and do what God wants them to do. You know, I look at these young men and listen, if it was left up to me and I was God, pop, you're in the Rock of Ages. Let's go. Amen. That's the way I do it, but it's not up to me. Amen. We get you too, song leader. Amen. I'm joking. Amen. But, you know, but what I'm saying to you is this right here. It is the service and to do it with humbly. If God's given you a small, a little Sunday school class, keep on working with it. I think of the story that Ed Ballou told, and he was in the old yesteryear churches back home in Murray County and so forth and so on. He told the story of how a little old woman that had the potbelly stove up front, you know, and it was just a small church house. And a little woman came to the pastor, and I think maybe the deacon said, now, if you'll put me up a drape around back over there in the back, I'll take these little kids and I'll teach them Sunday school. And there was five boys that were in that Sunday school class. I think two of them turned out deacons. I think one of them was an evangelist, and one or two of them, one was a pastor, and one wound up being a missionary on the foreign field. And I'm saying to you, listen, your service may look small. Your service may look like when nobody else is doing that, this is dismal, and why should I be doing this? I need something else, or so forth and so on. Serve the Lord. Go on and serve him and be faithful where God has called you, and God will advance you as he sees it. I've learned in the Rock of Ages. I've seen it, you know, for 46 years, ups and downs and highs and lows and so forth and so on. One thing that I've learned, and that is this, and I'm still learning it. May I say it to you like that? One thing that I am learning, let me say it like that, and that is, listen, don't look for advancements. When advancement comes, it'll come looking for you. That's the best way to do it. Just serve. Just do what God wants you to do. Serve where you're at. Be happy. Be content. Pray over those kids. Pray over those children. Pray over those adults in the Sunday school class. Serve the Lord. Amen. And God will bless you for that. Let me give you something else. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, and notice with me in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and 24. And he says, only serve the Lord in truth and fear him with all of thy heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. I think that's how he says it. I may be in the wrong verse there that I'm quoting from. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24, I believe it is. Let me get over there and make sure. Give me just a second. I don't want to misquote or use the wrong verse for what I'm trying to say to you tonight. But in 1 Samuel chapter 12, notice with me what he says in verse 24. And he says in verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. You know, can I say it to you like this and just be honest with you? When Gail and I got married, we didn't have nothing. Are you listening to me? We didn't have nothing. And we rented a little old two-bedroom house that had a living room, kitchen, and a bathroom and two bedrooms. And it was all we could do to pay $75 a month rent. I know y'all are laughing at that, amen. Hey, I made pretty good money back then. I was making $3.60 an hour, and I had overtime to go with that too, amen. We had insurance, and I had 2 weeks off, paid vacation. Oh man, we was living high on the hog, I guess, amen. Just didn't know it. But I'm trying to get you to see something. We didn't have nothing. And God's been so gracious to us. Who would have thought that God would give us three daughters? Our oldest is a redhead. Our second is a blonde. And our youngest, she's a brunette. And he gave us one son. He pastors in Michigan. And you know, who would give us a family like that? And God's been good to us because we've stayed with him and stayed by the stuff. And there's been times that we've had tears in our life and we've hurt in our life. And we've been, we've just been hurting because the Christian life will do that for you. You know, I think about the porcupine, and I'll go on in just a second. But in the southwestern region of the country, the porcupines will go out there, to my understanding, pretty much loners. throughout the day, and they forage and they look for this and they look for that. But in the nighttime, when the frigid air comes on the desert there, they have to come together and they have to utilize each other's heat off of their body. And so as they back in, they'll invariably back in, and as they get themselves backed in, they'll quill one or they'll quill another one over here. And I want to tell you something, that's the way it is in the Christian life. And if you stick around and you can say, well, I got hurt and I quit and I'm not going back anymore and so forth and so on. But I'm telling you something, friend. Listen, God has given to them that similar to a hand of a person, and they have the ability to reach around and pull that quill out and go on. And I'm saying to you tonight, there'll be tears and there'll be times in your life that things will come and you just want to give up, but go on back and serve God. It's been several years ago. I was preaching in a church and enjoyed preaching and kept watching, you know, just looking at the crowd. And, the pastor, he said, now y'all come around, shake his hand, tell him if you enjoyed it or not. And this one old gal, she come around and she looked at me and she said, I thought she was going to say, that's a good message, you know. I thought she was going to, you know, give me a little bit of a pat on the back. She said, you the ugliest man I ever seen preach. And I looked at her and I started to say, honey, you snagged lightning in hot sunshine in the middle of July in Fort Worth, Texas. So what? I didn't say it. I wanted to say it. I really wanted to say it. But I kept the peace and the faith. Amen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Somebody's always got something to say about you. Well, I can do that better. Yeah, but you're not doing it. You're not doing it. Let the one that's doing it pray for the one that's doing it and let them go on. And it might be that God will give you something and then you can do it. And sometimes, you know, when you serve the Lord and you're going out and you're doing this and you're doing that and you're faithful in your church and you're doing what God wants you to do, hey, listen, there'll be tears along the way as well as temptations that will come your way. And so we see in this passage, just serve the Lord truthfully. And then look with me at Psalms 100. And notice with me what he says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. And enter into his courts with thanksgiving. I want you to know that I personally, you may disagree with me, that hasn't never happened. As you look in verse 1. And I think the reason why is because we're under Gentile world domination. But one day when the millennium kingdom comes, hey, we'll make that joyful noise and we'll serve him with gladness and we'll let him know he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords and he's the God that saves souls. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Serve the Lord truthfully and serve the Lord gladly. And let's go on. Amen. I want you to notice with me secondly tonight. Now look down, if you will, in verse 21 and notice with me what it says. He says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you think about that. I want to say something to you. I still believe in salvation, old-fashioned repentance and a turning from sin. You know, I still believe. You look over in John 16, verse 8. But when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because you believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father, you see me no more. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now back up to verse 8. He said, but when he has come, he will reprove. It's to confute. It's to convict. It's to call. He shows us our worthlessness. And he shows us what we are, helpless without God on the road to hell. Oh, you look over in Psalms 39 and verse 11. Let me use this verse for this. And I think you'll understand how I'm using it. In Psalms 39 and verse 11, he says, when thou with rebukes doth correct man for iniquity, thou maketh his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. And you know, the night that God convicted me, he'd been convicting me for a long time. He'd arrested my soul. And you know, I came forward to the old-fashioned altar there at Mount Vernon Baptist Church on the west side of Dalton. Lloyd Guffey was the pastor. He was gone preaching a revival, and Brother Gene Hooker was there, and Brother Hooker was the man that worked with me at the service station before he pastored, and then he went into the Rock of Ages. And you know, I remember that Brother Hooker, he'd come in on Thursdays and he'd say, guess what we done last night? And I'd say, what'd you do? I didn't know. I'd forget from week to week, if you know what I mean. He said, we prayed for you last night at church. And I looked at him and I said, you didn't tell them people my name or nothing, did you? And he looked back and he said, no, just pray for that boy that we work with at the service station. Honest for God, I'd be out there and I'd be pumping gas and a horn would blow and I'd look out there and a little granny and a grandpa passing by and they'd be waving and looking at me and grinning and I'd be waving back like, who are you? I don't know who you are. Why are you waving at me? You know, like that, right? And it was them people that was at that church that were praying for me. They were praying that God would save me. And guess what? It's there that I got saved and come to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. May I say to you, listen, look with me. He'll get after your scriptural message. I still believe in conviction. You know, I don't know about y'all, but for example, and not to intimidate or embarrass or anything like that, but if I'm taking the Bible and I'm showing this man the plan of salvation and showing him how to be saved, there's a lot of things that I'm thinking. I'm watching, number one, his eyes. I'm watching his eyes. You know, I think about one man. I was in prison, and, you know, his back was to everybody out there, and I was in the corner, and I was witnessing to him, and he kept looking.
Yeah.
He ain't under conviction.
That's right.
I showed him plan of salvation. I said, now, listen, I hope you'll do that one day, and you'll get saved, and I walked off, and I left him because there's no conviction there. That conviction is where he wrought that godly sorrow in our heart because we see our wickedness and what we are, a sinner, wretched, defiled, and in need of a Savior. And we call upon him and he saves us and he borns us into the family of God. Faith dawns and new life in Christ begins.
Amen.
And I'm watching that man and I'm looking at him and I'm talking to him about the Lord. I'm showing him the plan of salvation. Oh, listen, I'm looking for old-fashioned conviction.
Listen,
in prison, you don't see a lot of tears. And the reason why is because tears is a sign of weakness. And I want to say something to you men here tonight. Listen to me for just a second. That is a God-given emotion for all humanity, both women and men. And I think it'd do us all good if we have more tears as we pray and seek the face of God. Never count out that God understands the language of tears. And God understands the language of a groan and a moan and something that's in your heart and you're praying about that and you're hurting over that situation. God understands that. And it's so vital. Listen, you know, the days of tears, it seems like we're over with that. Can I get an amen? Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've been in your prayer closet? How long has it been since you've shed tears before the throne of grace? How long has it been since you said, thank you, Lord. I'm here to say that I love you. And God, you've been good to me. And God, you've done this for me. And you've done that for me. Oh, God, you've been good to this old boy. Amen. I'm trying to tell you something, friend. Listen, tears is a language that our Lord understands. Amen. And as we think about this, I still believe in that conviction. I still believe in that call. And he draws and he woos and he begins to bring us to that place of repentance and salvation and faith and trust in Christ. I want you to notice with me, if you will, tonight. Look down in verse 23 and notice with me what the Bible says. Save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. But none of these things, get this, none of these things. Now let's back up for a second. Tears and temptations. Now we're down and he says, bonds and afflictions. And he says these words, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. May I say to you, listen, he'll get after your steadfastness. He'll get after your steadfastness.
Right.
I thank God that God's given me the wife that I have. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I don't guess I could have got another one. I lucked out. I got her. No, it's because she completes me.
Amen.
She completes me. And sometimes, you know, when we were first saved and I was first called to preach and enthused about the call that God placed in my life, I didn't listen to her as much. And she would occasionally tell me, she'd say, now watch this one. Or she'd say, watch that one. And I'd look at her, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? And she'd say, I don't know. I don't know, but watch that one. And sure enough, she's usually right.
That's right.
And she's my completer. And sometimes I can say the same thing to her. And you know, what I'm saying to you, what would it take to move you from serving Christ and being faithful in the house of God and doing what God wants you to do? Have you ever thought about that? Would it be this, or would it be that, or would it be this? Would it be a fear that you have? Would it be a reservation that you have? What would it be that could pull you away? I'm going to tell you something. The God of this world knows all about you. He's watched you. His cohorts have watched you. They know your weaknesses. They know your downfalls. They know your besettings. They know your strengths. And they won't come to you in your strength. They'll come to you in your weaknesses and your frailty, if I can say it to you like that. And they will work upon you to pull you away and pull you out of the house of God and serving Christ. Do you not realize what you've got here today? Think about this. Think about this for just a second. Number one, you've got a good pastor. You say, how do you know? Well, he's sought after all over the country. I'll let you figure that one out. Amen. And then number two, can I say to you, you've got good people here. You've got a good choir. You've got a good choir director. You've got a good Sunday school teacher. It's been a while. I can't find him now, but he's right over there. Amen. And I couldn't find you, brother. I'm sorry. I knew you was here. But what I'm saying to you, God's give you just exactly what you need. You know, I used to tell the inmates, the residents, especially down here at the jail, they'd ask me questions from time to time, and I would answer them for them if I could, or I'd say to them, well, give me some time and I'll try to get back with you. But I always told every one of them, I'd say, write your questions down. Write your questions down, and then when I pass through, let me know what your questions is, and I'll try to answer them for you, and I'll try to give you scripture for that. You know how many I had to do that? Zero. 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 And here's what I'm saying to you. Why don't you write your questions down? Why don't you go to your pastor? Why don't you, or maybe go to your Sunday school teacher, or go to some of the deacons, or come to your pastor and say, what does this passage of Scripture mean, and how do I apply that to my heart? What does that mean to me? Listen, friend, have you considered what it would be that would pull you away from Christ? Now, I'll go on here in just a second, but I'm going to use the young man right here for just a second, and not to embarrass or nothing like that. But look here. What would it take to pull you away from serving Christ? Yeah. You can laugh, you can do whatever you want to, but I'm going to tell you something. You may be the next one in this church strongly tempted. You may be in the sights of the God of this world waiting for the right moment to pounce upon you or his cohorts. I've got one pastor friend. I love him. Thank you. You can sit back down. I love him in the Lord. And I don't say this wrong. I don't say this in any way, shape, he's a very handsome man. He has a very becoming wife. Gail knows who I'm talking about. I'll not call names. But I always tell him, I'd say, preacher, keep your wife close to you.
Yes.
And then I would tell her, you stay close to him. You know why? I don't want to see him fall.
That's right.
I don't want to see him fall.
Amen.
I don't want to see him, the possibility of some kind of unbeknown to him skirmish come about and ruin his ministry. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. You men that are in this church, you stand for something. You mean something. If something happened in your life, listen, they would with time replace you, if you understand what I'm saying. But what I'm saying to you, they would wonder, what happened? What happened?
That's right.
What happened? You've seen people in this church. I have nobody in my mind when I say that. I'm speaking in the church after church after church in general. But you've seen people. And you come in, they're there. The next time you come back, what happened to such and such? I was talking to a pastor just the other day, and they were considering merging with another church. And I asked him, I said, did that not work out or what happened? And he told me, he said, they did not like our, now this, it's going to get you, our separational standards. Now listen, I don't mean that smart and it's not my place, but hey, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? Amen. Amos 3:3. So if that be the case, then let them go their separate way and you go your separate way. But listen, as for me and my house, by the help and the grace of God, there's only one woman I'm going home with tonight unless we have to take somebody home, and I'm not aware of it as of yet. Amen. But that woman is sitting right back there, and she's the one I'm going to wake up with tomorrow, and she's going to be the one that I'm going to tell her tomorrow that I love her, and she's the one that I'm going to tell tonight that I love her when I hit the sack and go to sleep, if I can say it to you like that. I'm saying, what would pull you away? Look here. Let me use this father for just a second. What would happen to him if he was taken in sin? You understand what I'm saying? The story's told, maybe I've told it before. If I have, I'll bear with me. The young lady in high school, everybody's pressuring her to be like us. Be like us. Do like we are. There's nothing wrong with it. Purity doesn't mean nothing. Listen, be like us. It's all fine. It's all good. It's all, hey, everything's okay. And one came, and she looked and she said, I can always be like you.
That's right.
But you can never be like me.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
You know, thank you, preacher. Keeping yourself pure and waiting for that time, that's the most godly thing right there. You know, I've got a little old grandson. He's 18 years old or 17. He just graduated from high school. He's going off to business college. He'll stay with his grandpa, Paul, on the other side. Now, I'm the best looking of the two grandfathers, okay? Now, I'm joking, okay? But anyway, he looks just like him, too. He's got plenty of hair and everything, okay? But, you know, anyway, long story short, if I don't forget what I was going to say, you know, I forgot. Never mind. Amen. Y'all done it to me. I'm sorry, but y'all done it to me. I can't remember everything, okay? I was going to say something, but he just traded cars, and he just got him a Mustang. It's a 2012 Mustang. Now, this, you think that's odd? No, that's God. It has 28,000 actual miles on it. And he got that. God blessed him. And if you just stay by the stuff, you might not want a Mustang, amen? But, hey, God might have a Corvette. I don't know. I doubt it. But if he does, praise the Lord, amen? Now, I'm joking, but listen to me. What will cause you to fall?
Yeah, that's right.
What will cause you to fall?
Preach it, brother.
What would, I'll go on here in just a second. I'm enjoying preaching. I don't know if y'all are not, but I am. I'm enjoying preaching, amen? What would you think if something happened, and I have no thought here, but something happened in the life of your pastor? This church would be devastated. This church would be just devastated. What can we do? Where can we go? You look over in Psalm 61 and verse 1, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And the word there, overwhelmed, it comes, the oldest expression, it speaks of the shroud. And the shroud was placed over, and they couldn't see nothing when the shroud was placed over the head. I would assume it was that they played with Christ, the 12 Roman robust Roman soldiers played a game. They called it hot hands. To my understanding, I'm correct on that. And they would place over the victim a shroud, or they'd a covering, and he couldn't see out. And 11 out of 12 would take and hit him just as hard as they could. And then they would take the covering off, and they'd say, now prophesy and tell us who it was that did not hit you, and we'll let you go. who when he was reviled, reviled not again, but committed himself into the hands of him that judgeth righteously, whose own self bare our sins in his body, that we being dead unto sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. Listen, friend, think about what it would take, and make your fortify yourself and do everything you can to make sure that that opportunity never arises in your life.
That's right.
I'm just trying to say to you, listen, he'll get after your steadfastness. You look in 1 Corinthians 15:51-58, finally, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You look over in Philippians chapter 1, I believe it is, he says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. A lot of times we say, for me to live is Christ. But he doesn't say that. He says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, this is simple right here. He's saying, I've made up my mind. This is the route. This is the direction. This is the path. This is the way I'm going. If you go with me, praise God. If you don't go with me, I'm going on. This is what God wants out of my life. All right, look with me. Let's go on a little farther. Can I say to you, listen, I'll give you this very quickly. Can I say to you that the wolves will get after your sheep? Wolves will get after your sheep. Now, I'm going to give you three things. The first one, you're not going to like it, but we're all sheep, okay? May I say to you, listen, sheep are dumb. They're just dumb. Have you ever seen, you know, they don't have the great big massive arms with the claws. They don't have the great big jaws and the ability to fight off an attack. All they do is just kind of jump around like that right there. And you know, to my understanding, the Western, when herds of cattle were going west, cattlemen hated to see the sheep come. And the reason being is because the sheep will literally, to my understanding, it'll literally eat the grass, but it'll pull the grass up by its roots and eat that. And then when they travel on, there's nothing but a dust bowl left there. And so they do that. And a sheep, it'll go to grazing, 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 and it'll look up and say, hey, where's everybody at? That's why you have to have an under-shepherd. Why do you think he and the men of this church come and they try, now come on, get in here, get in here, get back in here. You've missed. Get back in here. Serve God. You say, well, why are you preaching to us? Well, we're here on Sunday night. You can tell them that's why, amen. Serve the Lord, but listen to me. He'll get after your sheep. Sheep are dumb. Can I say to you, secondly, sheep are defenseless. They don't have the jaws. They don't have the ability. They're not like an impala or like a deer that can run off and sprint across and they're gone. No, they're helpless and defenseless. I was told by a man, he was in our ministry for a while, and he worked at a meat factory. Let me say it to you like this. And he'd say that occasionally they'd bring a sheep in to be slaughtered. And you could not take and shoot the sheep like you would a cow or maybe a hog or something like that, because it does something to the meat. It makes it just does something to the meat. I can't explain that to you. So what they have to do is they've taken, slice its throat. And that little sheep will stand there until it's just bled all out and it falls over dead. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are defenseless. And may I say to you, listen, sheep are dependent. You're dependent. I'm dependent. Listen, you say, well, we hear Brother Gravely all the time. Thank God and the Lamb that you do, because he's going to give you something from the book. Amen. I'm not bragging on him, and he didn't tell me to say none of this, and I did not know that today is Pastor Appreciation Day, but I'm saying to you, listen, he gives you something. He reads the blessed book. He tries to find out, and he tries to give you something that you can grow on, and you can go and serve the Lord and find out what God wants in and out of your life. Amen. Well, y'all smile. I'm through. Amen. You bow your heads with me, would you please? Our fathers, we come again to the throne. It's in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Fathers, with a grateful, thankful heart, thank you for the liberty that, Lord, you're so kind to give. I ask you now, Lord, please, bless this invitation. Meet with us tonight. Help us, Father.
Yes.
I bow my unworthy head and thank you and praise you for all that you so kindly do. I ask it, Father, please. In Jesus' wonderful name. Heads are bowed.